It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. It's another version of Where's Bob?
Yeah. Where's Bob?
That's the baritone voice of Chaz Thompson sitting in with me. He's been on our show many times. I'm sure you're familiar with his voice. But we all got to wish Barbecue Bob a little good health. He had a little accident this last week and fell off a motorcycle. It wasn't moving too fast, but he did injure himself. And it's really a little bit tough for him to move around right now. So we're, I'll be bringing him some barbecue later today, and we'll make sure that he's doing okay. But he's at home mending. So life goes on. And Barbecue Bob, if you're listening, we wish you well, brother. But anyway, Chaz, what I thought we'd do is we'd talk a little bit about outdoor entertainment areas. We've had this, what I call pre-spring. Now, here in Michigan anyway, where we're at, that it got super warm. The buds are on the trees. The flowers are popping through the ground. And it's still mid-March. Well, late March, I guess, here where we're at. But my point is, that's usually, we're about 4 weeks ahead of where we should be, in my mind, in Michigan. So that made me think, what are the projects that are going to go on in my backyard this year to turn it into the oasis that I want it to be? So I thought maybe we'd talk about
we
that.
We had a 70-degree day, and it right. was time to get out there and, you know, get the grill out. If you've been one of those people that put it away,
right? Just,
you had the urge to get it out there. I got out there, did some grilling.
Yeah.
And but you're standing out there grilling, you're looking around, going, "Well, there's a bit of a mess out here from trees and dropping and stuff in your yard." And man, I've been meaning to clean that area up and do something with that. So great idea. We should talk about
that. Sure.
So
speaking of getting your grilling out, I did. And this last week, we always like to start with this. So last week, when it was 70 degrees out, I had a hunk of prime rib that was in the freezer, just a steak, right? It was one of the steaks left. And that's a pretty fatty cut of meat. And so what I decided to do with it this time is cut that fat layer off and just cut the actual steak meat up into little cubes. And I made some kebabs. And I marinated them in some olive oil for about a half hour before I put them on the grill so they don't stick. Seasoned them up with some of Sobey's Tim's blend. Just a great overall general seasoning. And then I took little yellow bell pepper chunks and sweet onion chunks and made a skewer. Now, personally, I don't like it. From a look standpoint and in a delivery, it's really pretty to have your vegetables and your meat mixed. But from a perfection piece of cooking the meat the way I want it, the vegetables don't get done before the meat gets done for me. I like the vegetables a little charred and a little it just adds a layer of flavor. Where the meat gets overdone when I cut it in little pieces if I let those vegetables char. So I made a separate skewer with the vegetables, put them on.
That's a good plan because then you can control your cooking. And then your guests can pick, do I want one meat and two veggie?
Right.
And you can kind of separate things out, and it's a little bit more smorgasbord-y.
Right, yeah. And that's exactly what it was. And it's cool on a tray when you got skewers of both. But what I did is I had some of those baby Bella. Is it shiitake? Is that the right one? They look like a portobello, only they're the little ones like the white button mushrooms, right? Yeah, baby Bellas or whatever they're called in the store. I had a box of those, and they're pretty good sized ones. But I have a problem with putting mushrooms on skewers in that about half of them break in half when I'm driving that skewer through there. And so what I did with those is I popped the stem out of them, so I created the little pocket. And they were golf ball size ones, right? Created that little pocket in there. My wife had a dip that was called Crab Rangoon Dip. I don't know where she got it, but I didn't make it. But I stuffed that.
Thank the internet.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I stuffed that mushroom cap with that Crab Rangoon Dip. And then I had she had a pack of white cheddar, sharp white cheddar. And I let that mushroom set on the grill for 4 or 5 minutes till I saw that dip start to bubble a little bit in the center, which means the heat was coming up through my mushroom. And then I, by then, my kebabs were on, my vegetables had been on. Everything's coming together timing-wise, right? I turned the grill down, put a that piece of that cheddar on top of that mushroom, and just finished my cook until that thing melted enough where it kind of sealed in that crab dip. Holy cow. Was that a great little side dish, that mushroom with that crab dip in there and a piece of sharp white cheddar on top. And just a little square, right? Just enough to cover the mushroom so the stuff doesn't leak out when you cut it. But, man, I was proud of me, right? I mean, it was a pretty dang simple, you know, two different kinds of skewers and a mushroom. But, man, people were digging that one. They were digging that one. What you been grilling, man?
Well, you know, that hot day hit, and I got a summer feeling about me, too. And yep. I pulled out the big griddle that goes on my grill.
Okay.
And I did some Yucatan-style fish tacos, but I did them with crappie.
Oh, well, of course you did, because you probably had a bunch of that in your freezer from the ice fishing.
Oh, we're working down through it, you know. And that day that I think just after we were on the air together last, we got to get out on the ice and take a whole bunch of scouts fishing. Had a great day doing that.
Yep.
You did a great job on the hot dogs and chili dogs. And yep. Mrs. Joppy even provided some cookies. Those
were
really good.
Right, yeah, fresh homemade cookies. That's the benefit of having a missus, because I'm not the baker. I'll grill the hell out of things.
Well,
but
when
I'm
you guys got done with the food service and the kids kind of meandered off, I had a couple of the older scouts that I invited out to a little bit deeper water and got them on some crappie.
Oh, nice.
And we got a nice little mess of crappie that day.
Great.
So I pulled some out of the freezer. And what I do is I'll make up a garlic oil in one of my small, you know, like 4-inch cast iron skillets.
Okay.
And it just sits on the side of the grill, kind of just staying hot and getting happy.
You just use vegetable oil and lace it with garlic?
I use canola.
Okay.
And then I just take a tip of your big long spatula and pull that out, get a little area ready, drop on some fillets and a little bit of onion, and do those up real quick. And you got tortillas off to the side, maybe you got a little sauce or whatever else you want to top them with. But I had a few people over, and we were just standing there and no plates.
Right, well, that's what the taco shells, the tortillas for, right? Yeah.
Drop a little bit in there, and there you go, buddy, and, you know, top it with what you want.
Right.
And we sat there and shot the shit, drank a few beers,
yep,
and talked about stuff, and just enjoyed the hell out of standing outside with sunglasses on,
right,
t-shirt yep. and shorts.
Right, 70 degrees. And
in March.
Right, in March, in mid-March that was even. But, yeah, well, when we were, what was it, the last weekend in February that we did that,
yeah.
I think? Well, there was a foot of ice out there, and in a week that stuff was gone.
Yeah, I mean, we got a little rain and a lot of wind. And
right, yep, and a boom. Lot of warm weather, and away it went. But so you stood around and drank some beer. For those of you that remember, Chaz used to be the head brewer at a place called Schmoe's Brewery, great brewery over on the southeast side of Grand Rapids, just north of 28th Street on Patterson. If you've not been there, you've got to go check it out. But, Chaz, when we were hanging out and you with you first, when we first met, you were really into the beer scene. It's something you don't walk away from. You're not brewing it anymore, but I know you're keeping in touch with all the
buddies. Yeah, I still help out at a couple of breweries and still stay in tune with the industry and stuff.
Yeah, so the times are changing, man, and we're opening up a little bit. So in the next segment, what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about the new breweries you might be aware of and some of the cool stuff that you've had that are new brews to hit the market. And, you know, IPA was a wild thing for many years. There's still tons of them out there, but there's some newer stuff that's coming around too. So maybe we'll touch a little bit on that. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little breweries, a little beer, and then maybe a little backyard planning. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob is home recuperating from a little accident. And joining me in the studio is Chaz Thompson, the baritone of beer and a beer engineer and a lot of other things he knows about beer. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Funky times in our world. And many of our craft breweries in West Michigan have shut their tap rooms or are on now.
Yeah, they're on limited hours, right? Or very, you know, kind of messed up time because with the limited capacities and everything else, it's not the old hangout place that
right.
Everybody loved to go down. And even when I was working at Schmoe's, you know, everybody wanted to come down and sit with the brewer and find out what's going on.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And we're getting there, but we're not there.
We're not quite there yet.
Yep, in Michigan anyway. I went to Florida 3 weeks ago for just a brief little four-day junket down there and back, and that place is wide open. You'd go to a bar, any bar that you went to, breweries, whatever it was, you were shoulder to shoulder, no mask, everybody just talking, having a great time like it used to be here. You know. But
well, I think right now we're experiencing what I'm going to call the resurgence of the growler.
Okay, yeah.
It's time to bust out those growlers, guys. Wash them up, take them in, and maybe have one in there because you got to have the mask on, limited capacity and all that stuff. But grab a growler or two to take back and put by the grill.
Right, exactly.
You know, show the breweries you still love them by going and getting their fresh, fresh stuff and seeing what they have brand new on the chalkboard.
Right, and that's the coolest part in my mind about the microbrew industry is that they're – The complexion of their business changes weekly, not from COVID, but from the brewers that they put on the chalkboard.
Yeah, they're changing beers all the time, especially when you get into the real small places.
Right.
You know, I go out to Spring Lake out there to Old Boys.
Yep.
And the crew out there, they're shaking it up all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting different fruity beers out because, you know, there's people that like those. And then they're... Right. Big old powerful dark beers for the guys that are into those and the hop heads.
Right.
You know, they try and make something for everybody, and almost all of them have something really light and almost lawnmower-ish.
That right.
You,
yeah.
You know, I've been waiting for that first neighbor to poke a lawnmower out.
Right. Yeah.
But I grabbed a couple of growlers this week.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, I own so many growlers. And you grab a couple and you go in, and if you don't take the one from that brewery, some of them give you flack, but not so much anymore. But a lot of times it starts a story.
Right.
Yeah, about, yeah. You know, and drinking beer for me is all about the story.
Well, it's a very social thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get to try something new. You have a couple of their little samples and say, all right, give me a growler of that and give me a growler of that.
Yeah.
And, exactly. Oh, what the heck, I'll have a third one because the wife likes that kind of thing.
Right.
We'll try that.
Right, yep.
Now you got something to take home, and maybe the next door neighbor's going to wander over because he's got his rake out.
Right.
And he smells the grill start.
Right, right.
You get a social environment out of it.
Right.
Stuff.
Yep, create a little grill envy in your backyard. That's what you're doing there because, you know, we've been doing this a long time, and people ask me, why do you do this? And it's because of what you just described. It's like I learn so much, I find out so many things, And when people come over, right, I can take all of that knowledge that I have and kind of put it into play. When you need to pull something out, you've always got something more in the back pocket that they haven't talked about. And it's not an ego thing. It's just more about being social and starting conversations and making people smile. And then when you pull that different variety of beer out of your beer fridge in your garage or wherever you keep it, then you try one of these. And, you know, you can kind of hype it up a little bit before
and
they
get the story about, I drove out to Spring Lake. You see that construction they got going on? And whatever it is about where you're going, it makes a great thing, and especially if you're meeting a neighbor.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know about your neighborhood, but we changed some people around this year.
Oh, yeah. Since I got married, all new neighborhood, right? I moved in with Lisa, and after we got married, and I'm on a cul-de-sac now. I've never lived on a cul-de-sac in my life, but man, it's a little social hub. And you know, we got people with three young children under the age of 10 next door, and I got a retiree on the other side, right? And here I am in the middle of that, and it's kind of fun. Everybody's got a little something different that they like and they want to talk about. So you know, I just got to be careful.
Yeah, we were. I'm meeting new people all the time, and some people a couple doors over just moved in. The sold sign still in the front yard.
Yeah.
And I haven't spooked them yet with some good fumes blowing off my deck yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's coming. Just wait for the wind to blow, right? Just wait for the wind to blow. Speaking of the back deck, what I wanted to do today was talk about...
setting up the space.
Setting up the space. When I was a few years ago...
You got a new space now.
Right. I do have a new space, and I've got some things that I'm doing, and I thought I'd weave that in as we go. One of the reasons we moved to Lisa's house is there's a pool and a hot tub in the backyard, right? And
there's a
deck around. It's a wooden deck, but it's a deck around ground level, deck all the way around. Well, for whatever reason, the previous owner who put in the deck or whoever did, I don't know who it was, left a 5-foot space between the privacy fence and the edge of the deck. Well, all it does is catch debris.
Junk. Yeah.
I mean, there's leaves in there, there's weeds in there, there's everything in there, and it's like, why did they do that? Well, they probably just didn't want to spend the extra money to put on, because it's 6 foot by 32 feet is the area that I'm going to fill with deck this here in the next couple weeks, hopefully. And if the weather stays, it'll be quicker than that. But anyway, so that was part of my plan. So as you know, I used to have that kitchen and bath shop over in Ada, and we did a lot of outdoor spaces. I mean, it was something I was passionate about, and we did a lot of them while I was there. And what I want to do is maybe just talk a little bit about how you start a plan. What do you need to consider? Because if you know that your neighbor just put in a brand new outdoor entertainment area, and you're like, now your wife is saying, well, honey, not necessarily keep up with the Joneses, but we got invited over there, and it was really cool. And I'd like something like that in our backyard, too. Where do you start?
Well, I'll get the ugly one out of the way first.
Okay.
Ordinances.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, whether it's a homeowners association or local township, there might be rules about how close to a property line.
Right.
How close to a building. How close to a pool. What the fences got to be. What the fences can't be.
Right.
You better check into that stuff before you start laying out money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great point, because this takes as much time planning as it does implementing when you're putting in an outdoor entertainment area. There are a lot of things that you should consider, that being one of them right there. And structures over a certain height off the ground are mandated to have railings. Maybe you don't want a railing on your deck. You know, you just want it free-flowing. Well, you better not build it over 2 feet off the ground, or you're going to have a railing on that deck. And, you know, some people try to scam under and don't pull a building permit. Some things you don't need a building permit for, but other things you certainly do. And, you know, if you're handy, you can probably do most of this stuff yourself, but there's a lot of contractors out there that have all this knowledge and have an understanding of what needs to be done. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about planning your backyard entertainment area. You know, what are your goals, your objectives? You know, what do you have? What do you need? You know, integrating all of that. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in a space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back, Yardless the Grillin' Guys. We're going to start talking about the backyard entertainment area. Maybe there's some of you out there that this is the year that you want to do some improvements in your backyard. And I used to do this professionally. I don't do it so much anymore, but I remember a few things about it. And I think the first thing's a plan.
A plan. Right. Get out a piece of paper.
Right. Take some dimensions in your backyard. Figure out how much space you have to work with. And then and that's your white space on your paper.
Yeah, right? Maybe that high school drafting class might pay off finally.
Yeah. But a ruler and a pencil, never use a pen, because you're going to change things 30 times before you get this thing locked in, right? But you start with a pencil and a piece of paper and go out and measure it. And what are you trying to accomplish? So that's the next thing. Okay, I've got this much space. Maybe it's 30 feet wide and 20 by 20 feet, or maybe it's a lot smaller than that. You're just trying to do a little thing. Whatever it is, what do you want to accomplish?
Yeah, you start planting. Well, first, measure your grill.
Right.
You got to have space for the grill.
Right. And the thing is that there. So all along through this, Chaz, we'll play this back and forth off each other. If you measure your grill, don't just measure the grill itself. You're going to need some space around it. Because every time you come out and you've got a plate full of something you're going to put on the grill, you got to set it somewhere. So if you've got a grill there and it's got a table on the left and a flop-down table on the right, measure that. You're not after just the grill. You're after that flop-down space, too, because you're always going to have something to put on the grill, or when you take it off, you got to put it on a plate.
And measure you.
There you go.
Because you need space to walk around how many sides of your grill.
Right. Maybe three, maybe one. Maybe you walk
four.
Up to it. Yeah, maybe four.
You got to reach around back, turn on that propane maybe.
Yep, right. Depending on what kind of grill you have. Is it underneath it? Is it on the side? Or, yeah. Is it?
If you're a charcoal guy, you want a little extra space just so you don't burn stuff.
That's exactly right. Because grills get hot. And if you put flammable materials up against these things, it's going to catch on fire.
You're going to meet the fire chief.
Right. And that's not the guy you want to meet in your backyard. Unless you have him as a friend, right? And then invite him over. But So, you know, the grill is one. What about other grills, okay? A grilling guy like you and I, Chaz, how many do you have?
Four, five,
right.
I think.
Don't use them all the time. I got seven. I certainly don't use all seven all the time. But when I want to, I want to.
Right.
Right?
So well, you're going to have your main grill.
Right. Which
and
might
you're
be.
Have, you're going to have your smoker.
Right.
Most guys are going to have those two that are staying on the deck.
Right. Whether it's gas or charcoal, and that's where I'm at, is I play around with fuels, right? Now, Chaz just said you got a grill and a smoker. Absolutely. No question. But is your grill propane? Is your grill charcoal? Or is your grill pellet? Yep, got one of every one of those, right? So maybe I create a space to pull it out and put it in, and then when I'm done, put it back in the shed. If it's one of those grills, and now I've got multiple charcoal grills. Right, I got the big green egg. That thing weighs 300 pounds. You don't want to be moving that thing around much too often, and especially
unless you
on
get a
uneven,
nice, smooth surface.
That's exactly what I said. Especially on uneven surfaces, because if that thing tips over and hits the ground, it explodes. There goes my $1,000 grill. It's
yep.
in pieces. Right. So it's just little stuff like that that you've got
well,
to think about.
You mentioned earlier side tables.
Right.
My house, I've got a couple of sawhorses set up with a big piece of UHMW cutting board
right.
off the side, which is my prep area.
Right. Yep.
That I can just go out there, sanitize up, and work with that 5 foot long rotisserie rod.
Right.
When I'm going to put five chickens on the rotisserie.
Right.
And you know, you got to have space for those. So put those in your plan.
Exactly.
What about seating?
Right.
You're going to have an audience. You're a grilling guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
The missus and your buddy's wife, they're going to want to sit over and have a few adult beverages off the side. You got to plan for that,
right,
too.
Right, yep. And there's something to that, because when people come over, they want to watch you grill for a while. All right, they're going to lose interest if they're not into it, right? But even the most novice, curious person is going to stand there 10, 15 minutes while you're doing the active part of the grilling before the griller or the smoker starts doing all the work, right? All that prep time, they want to see how you cut things, all of that. There needs to be spectator space, right? I think, because if you don't, they're going to be bumping into you.
And the three guys that are going to stand around and give you advice with beer in their hand.
That's right. That's
you got to put all these into your plan as you're doing layouts. So you might not be just using a pencil. You might may have little cutouts you got to move around on your plan.
Yeah, exactly. So if that guy does have a beer in his hand, where'd that beer come from? Do you want to shuck coolers back and forth out through there? That's what most of us do, right? Get a cooler full of beer. Where are you going to set it? You know, I mean, this sounds elementary, and it is. But just go through all these things in your head. Now, if you want refrigeration, you're taking your deck to a whole nother level. Okay, it's available. It gets really spendy in a hurry, because unless you take your refrigeration on and off your grill in the winter seasons here in Michigan, the refrigeration equipment is specifically made to be able to go through the winter and into the summer, is more expensive than if you just buy one of those little dorm fridges that you get at Best Buy or wherever you get those that are $150. Now, you certainly can use those.
A little dorm fridge on a little dolly cart.
Right.
Not a bad plan.
Right.
Exactly. Roll it into the garage in the winter.
Right. Yep. Pick it up. It's empty by now, you know, and I got a couple of those too.
Right.
That I use because, you know.
And it gives you another surface to
right on top of it.
Set your beer on when you got to grab the tongs.
Yeah. Look at there. There's beer in there and you can set it up on top of there. How convenient can that be? Right. But, you know, you mentioned seating, Chaz. That's another big thing when you're planning your deck is how many people where do you sit to eat? Is there a dining table on there? Is it a 6-person one? Is it a 4-person one? Measure it up. Figure out how much it's going to take. And, you know, we're kind of beating a dead horse here, but you get in the picture, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of things to consider. Now, fire. What about a fire pit? Okay. People love to sit around at night and sit around a fire pit, maybe roast a marshmallow, make some s'mores. Kind of caps off a cool evening.
We're pretty much getting to the point we're going to have to call a new real estate guy and get a bigger place.
You're right. And you don't have to do all of this in your backyard, but these are things that I've done in the past that you know, and there's the lazy fire guy and there's the active fire guy. And the lazy fire guy buys a propane table or hooks it up, if he gets real deluxe, hooks it up to his natural gas or his LP gas at his house. Right. So all you got to do is push the button and it comes on and you're not swapping tanks. Right. There again, gets a little spendy, but you certainly can do it. But that takes planning. Now you're burying pipes and you're doing things to get gas to a certain
spot.
Or
like one of our other friends that puts in a backyard pizza oven.
Yeah.
With whole refrigeration and a bar.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We won't call his name out.
Right. But spendy. Right. Very spendy. And so there's a lot of things, you know, if you want water in your back area, not to swim in, but to use.
Sink, a wash-up spot.
Right. You're talking a whole nother level now because you got drainage issues. You've got to drain the pipes in the fall before it freezes so you don't break all your equipment. It can be done. There's no question all of this stuff can be done, but it just takes planning because now you're tapping into water sources inside your house.
All these grilling guy problems.
Right, yeah, exactly. And they're fun. I mean, I believe me.
Hey, when it's raining here the next couple of weeks.
Right.
And the wife looks over and you've got a big piece of paper out on the dining room table drawing all this out. She's going, what are you up to now?
Right, exactly.
Say, well, the grilling guys told me to.
Right, yeah, right. Well, I'll take that hit because you won't regret what you did no matter what you do. I mean,
paper and pencil is a lot cheaper than a bad mistake.
Yes, it is. And you're going to draw it 2 or 3 times because your priorities are going to change as you go through this process. So it's just cool. Another thing is wind, rain, and sun, okay? All of those things are going to happen on your deck, okay? And you're going to be out in them most of the time. And, you know, one of the things that I taught a lot of people that they never, ever thought of is in West Michigan anyway, we have a prevailing west wind. Don't put your grills on the east side of your entertainment area because you're going to smoke everybody out as the west wind blows all of that stuff across your yard and where everybody's sitting. And it's good to smell a whiff of it, but it's like perfume. You don't want to bathe in it, right? So, but anyway, coming up next, I'll relate a couple of the things that I'm doing in my backyard and the issues that I've run into already. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys. Chaz Thompson is joining me today. Barbecue Bob is home recuperating after a little accident. He'll be fine, but he may be back in a week or two. So
it was an episode of Hold My Beer and Watch This, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I just know it.
We'll let him share the story when he gets back, how much effort he wants to do. But anyway, we were talking about planting your backyard in the last segment. And I just want to finish with, I mentioned earlier in the show that I've got a 6 foot by 32 feet area, but where my deck stops over to my privacy fence. And I'm going to gain that much square feet this year. My deck is literally just about 8 inches off the ground. It's just about the width of a 2x8, but it gets you up off the ground and it lets, you know, air filter through, doesn't get so hot, so on. So we're going to expand that. And on there, I'm making my grilling station. Again, I moved into this house last August. I didn't have a chance to do anything as a newlywed then. So we're gonna tackle it this year. So really looking forward to that. But I'm going to bring water out, but drainable water, right? And because I've got a drain there for the pool, right? So it'll be city water that I'm draining away. So that'll be fine. And I'm going to bring electricity out because I want to put a little light. I'm putting a pergola up. That'll be 24 of the 32 feet will be covered by a pergola, so on. So those kind of things are that I've had in my plan that I've set down, I've drawn it out, and we you know, a lot of things to consider when you include water and electric.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have to hire a professional because you want an electrician putting electricity outside that's anchored to the inside of your home. Just trust me. You don't want to do that yourself. But anyway, Chaz, we were talking a little bit about it at the break, and you were talking about herbs on the deck rail. So tell us what you're thinking, man.
We both know enough professional chefs, whether they're active or retired or whatever, and even the guys you watch on the YouTube.
Right.
They all brag about those fresh herbs.
Right.
Now, we all know that you can go over and buy the half-wilted stuff at the grocery store.
Right.
And you bring it home, okay, yeah, you're going to use about half of it, and then it goes bad.
There, you're right.
Now it's right. In the compost. I'm spending really good money to buy compost.
Right.
Well, one of my good friends, we were challenged with setting up his grilling area, mm-hmm. and he had that predominant west wind, and he wanted a little bit of a break from it. And one of the biggest problems he had was leaves that were blowing across his patio
exactly.
area.
Exactly.
So we put up a concrete block wall. just about 4 foot high.
Right.
And when we were doing it, he's like, how are we going to top it? And I said, look at those holes in the top of the cinder blocks. I said, each one looks like a planter. And all of a sudden it hit us. Well, yeah, let's turn it into a planter. And so what we did is we put a little bit of landscape cloth right down the bottom of each of those holes in the top course, filled it in with some potting soil, and we planted the different herbs in each different hole. Okay. Now, his wife's one of those creative types, so she made us little signs.
Sure.
This is cilantro, and this is mint, and this is
right
chives.
Yep.
But by having them in the separate different little pot holes, you were able to keep them separate. Some of them are, come back every year for you. They're
right.
Great.
Chives, you can't hardly kill a chive. You
rosemary.
Can mow that thing off. It's like your grass. It'll grow back up.
Rosemary know? And thyme, same way.
Right.
They just keep coming back. And
basil's good one. Another one. You eat the leaves on the basil, and they'll grow more leaves.
Yeah, you just kind of go out and pluck or snip what you need.
Right.
And Jacques Pepin, I watch him quite a bit because that old guy knows his stuff.
Right.
He always talks about going out to his garden and getting his fresh herbs.
Right.
And depending on the season, that helped dictate his creativity of what he's going to cook.
Right. Yep. And you've got some of these herbs, or maybe not herbs as much as things you might want to grow. Let's talk about kale. Everybody, I think kale gets a bad rap. It's just not good unless you know how to cook with it. And you cook it into something. That's what I'm never going to sit down and eat a kale salad. It's a little coarse. It's a little bitter.
I'm not going to have a plate of parsley either.
Right, exactly. But these are things that as you grow them when they're young and new, that's when they're really good. So you might do another planting of those. You might do two or three plantings across the summer.
And when you research them, a lot of them, when you cut them back, they're going to come back, like you mentioned,
right,
plucking a couple of basil leaves.
Right.
Snipping a little mint.
Yep.
Everybody tells you, be careful where you put the mint. You'll never get rid of it.
Right.
Well, if you put it in a fixed container, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Mow off what you need for whether you're making a cocktail or making a little bit of a rub or whatever you're using it in.
Yeah. Yep. If you're grilling some lamb, if you could pull fresh mint off and put on that right before you put it on the plate, it's astounding how good it is.
Rosemary and mint on grilled chicken.
Yeah.
We're kicking it up a notch there.
Yeah, you are. And it's all right there, and you don't have to go to the store to get it. And it's kind of fun to grow it. Some of it needs direct sunlight. Some of it doesn't. But, you know.
That's what the internet will tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the little card that comes on the, maybe if you go down to the home garden store, they'll have a little card in the plant and tell you about what sunlight and how much water and things like
right.
that.
Right, and just heed that advice, and you'll have a great little herb garden.
Now, you got the guy that's out there that's saying, I can't put up a concrete block.
Wow. Right, right.
Well, you probably got a deck rail.
Right.
You know, you go over to the big box store, you go over to the home garden store, whatever, they've got a little plastic planter that will go on your deck rail.
Hangs right off the edge of your deck rail. Yep.
You set that on there, put some potting soil in it, follow the directions, put your herbs in there, and voila, right on the deck rail. You've got them right next to the grill.
Another planting issue right there. Oh, ooh, good spin on words. Planting or planning? Yes.
Yes.
It's an issue, right?
But doing a little bit of that stuff can be really cool. Now, another thing is garlic.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you start to do a little research on some of these plants and herbs and vegetables, whatever you want to call them, some of them are really help with getting rid of mosquitoes.
Right.
Yep. And some of them are just great to smell.
Right.
When you're sitting out there enjoying an adult beverage.
Lavender, for example. My wife has lavender in our flower gardens. You could eat it, but it's just there for the aroma.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, when you start reading about some of these things, there's some really great, interesting stuff about them.
Yep.
And if you can work them into your grill space, maybe you're going to make the missus a little happier.
Right.
Maybe you're going to up your grill game. But you're definitely going to supply yourself with some more stuff to make your food better.
Right. And you want to talk about creating grill envy in your backyard. When I said, we talked earlier about that spectator, right? There's one or two dudes standing around, maybe the ladies too, you know, it doesn't matter. Depends on what swimsuit I have on, right? But anyway.
He has a pool.
Right, yeah. But, you know, if you walk over and you're cooking away and all of a sudden you walk over and you pull a plant off the off one of your herbs, and you go back and put that on your food, people don't do that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's like a wow factor. And it's not, it really isn't. It's just you got to have one to beget the other, right?
And garden and grill.
Right.
Right
yep.
there.
Yep. And it beautifies your space, too. You're not all, you know, industrial. Then if you've got some plants here and they're working plants that you can work into your recipes, just a really, really cool
Or chase
cool
mosquitoes
place.
Away.
Yeah, right.
I don't know anybody that loves mosquitoes except bats.
Right, yeah, exactly. They fly around too, right? But haven't had one of those light on my meal yet. But, you know, the ladies, they don't like them flying around at night. But anyway, so that's kind of cool, Chaz. I mean, there's a lot of things we could plan in these spaces. But putting herbs in your grilling space or your backyard entertainment area, it just adds another dimension to all the things that you can do. So coming up next, we're going to do a little man law. Might talk about a little flatbread with some of these herbs. Ooh, there's some good ones there that go on your grill. And then we'll wrap up that outdoor plan. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys. Before we get to man law, Chaz was talking during the break about becoming the king of my cul-de-sac. Reiterate that, Chaz, because I think that there's a lot of guys and gals out there that could really enjoy what you were just talking about.
You know, I was surfing around and watching, going down the rabbit hole of YouTube, and I found a guy that was doing a three-ingredient bread, and he put it in his cast iron, popped it in the oven, and baked it. I said, why don't I just take the cast iron Dutch oven and do that on the side of the grill? I've got big grill space. Put that over on the side of the grill while I'm getting everything hot and everything, and then I grill my meat and stuff. And while the meat's resting, I go grab that bread out of the cast iron, pop that out. And then what we can do is take some of those fresh herbs, dice them up real fine, put them in some oil.
Mm.
I mean, who doesn't love that dip in the fresh hot
little
bread?
Salt maybe in there too. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
nice little sea salt on there. You right. Just wiping that up and munching. Oh, I mean, that what an appy that is.
Yeah. Right. Fresh hot bread off your grill. Come on.
Yeah. No brainer. And this was a three ingredient. Dump it in, dump it out.
Right.
I'm like, okay, big guy can do that.
Yeah. Yep. So, well, that is man work. And I'll just cover this man law because this one's dedicated to our brother Bob. And
may he heal soon.
May he heal quickly. Yes. Now you're a man. A man, man, man. Now you're a man. A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man. If you got a project you're doing, why don't you just take a break, sit down, have a beer, and think it through before you just hop on your cycle and go for a ride, right?
Maybe
and,
you ought to draw it out on paper.
Right, because it will improve your results. I'm just telling you, it will improve your
results.
A little
planning,
right.
Draw it out on paper.
Right. So had a friend over on Wednesday this week, and she's a friend of my wife. She's actually a mail carrier. She got done with the route, and she came over just to see how we're doing. She brought over homemade sweet spicy mustard, four ingredients, okay? She said it was a cup of brown sugar and a cup of apple cider vinegar that she combined and let set overnight. And then there's a little mustard powder, the little yellow cans of mustard. I forget the name of it. There's a brand, but anyway, 4 ounces of mustard powder, cup of sugar, cup of vinegar, 4 ounces of mustard powder and an egg, mix that stuff all up with a beater, right? And that became her mustard. And then she dropped a little cayenne pepper in it to heat it up a little bit. And man, was that good. I mean, it was like a pretzel dip, or it was a little sweet, little tart, had the mustard flavor, but just a easy little recipe. And she, you know, she knows I'm into that stuff. So she brought a little container over and said, try my mustard. And I said, you know what? I'm going to talk about that on the show this week because that's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. You dip it in a pretzel or, you know, again, that bread, if you had the crust on that bread, the little chewy, then dip that in there. Huh. Man,
oh, yeah.
That's good. Man,
I mean, there's
good.
Just so many opportunities that you can go with, because you got to remember that grill is not just for meat or for proteins.
Right. Right.
You're a grilling guy. You have the potential we've talked about on the show many times. Vegetables. We talked about breads. We've talked about, we made pizza. How many times have we made pizza
right.
on the grill? The
fruit. Fruit. You can grill fruit, and it's really good. It amazingly changes.
Oh, grilled pineapple?
Yeah.
Top of the list.
Right. Yep. It's amazing how it changes the flavor. Things get concentrated.
Your grilled Caesar salad.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Right.
We've I mean, that's that. A Joppy classic.
Right. We've covered that many times. Yeah. With the romaine.
And
sure.
For those of you that aren't keeping up on these things, writing it down on the dust in your dash, you run out of dust.
Right.
There's this thing called thegrillingguys.com.
Right.
And we were just talking that there are two episodes all the way back to 2010.
Yeah, when we started this crazy game.
There is all kinds of recipes out there, tips, tricks, reviews, even some pictures of some crazy events that
right.
you and Bob have done. I've been to a few.
Oh, yeah. We did them at Schmoe's, too. Yeah.
Well, I remember when we used to go to people's backyards and cook for them, when we had a sponsor that was paying the bill on that.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yep, a lot of fun.
But,
that was a lot of fun.
You know, whipping out all the stuff that you can do really does take you down the path of becoming the king of the cul-de-sac.
That's
I live
right.
on a cul-de-sac, too.
Yeah, right. I want to be that guy, right? I want to be that guy. And throw a party in your cul-de-sac. You know what? Stop the traffic. It'll be a good thing. Your neighbors will love you.
They're either coming or going. They're not going by.
That's right. All right. Hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week and listening to this banter. And I hope you get out and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. And we'll talk with you next week.